CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I might be a little rusty, but I don't think the Chiefs will be. Welcome to Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm neither Cody. I like to think I'm a little golden for you today. I am Joshua Briscoe, Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. Two of us are hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. Look, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, anybody who needs a break for the Chiefs, I think they have certainly deserved it. You got to call on your Carson Wentzes, your Chris Oladokuns. Maybe I'm Carson Steele today. If that's the case, you know I'm going to grind through this show 2 or 3 yards at a time, and hopefully we'll have a good one together here on 96.5 The Fan. It is true, though, even though it's been a little while since I've, you know, fully gotten my feet wet in a 4-hour radio broadcast, even though it's been a little while, really, since I've talked about the Chiefs. We had last week, last Monday, no Josh Briscoe show. Obviously, by the way, no show tonight. I'm doing 4 hours. I'm not doing six. But we didn't have the show on Monday. That was my birthday, in fact. Now I'm on the, quote, wrong side of 30, so that's something I have to continue to deal with going forward here now. But we have not really looked back on both of these two games that the Chiefs have given us in these last 2 weeks, and now we get to look ahead to one that doesn't really matter. But after weeks and weeks and weeks of talking about the importance of securing a first-round bye, after even the extra benefit of having week 18 off entirely, as we've discussed, the absolute fact of the matter that the only thing you can win of consequence during an NFL regular season outside of, you know, your division for your own record books and your standings for playoff seeding, the only thing that you can really truly accomplish in the NFL regular season is getting that first round bye. You get to opt out of an entire week of playoff action. You get one free automatic playoff victory and nobody gets hurt. Travis Kelce doesn't need to play 85% of the snaps. Chris Jones doesn't need to play 85% of the snaps. It is a true legitimate advantage in a sport that gives very, very few of those. It's why from week one through week 17, I have always, from the schedule release, the event that's not an event, the NFL makes an event every year now. From the moment the schedule comes out, the only thing that you can really accomplish before the playoffs arrive is getting that one seed and then getting as much rest as you can. Which is why it's confusing to me when the conversation pivots so quickly to, well, what about the rest? What about the rust? 1 week off, that's perfect. 2 weeks off, I'm worried that Patrick Mahomes will forget how to play football in that span. I do understand how you end up in a little bit of this headspace. It is a longer than usual layover, and it makes a little bit of sort of like first blush common sense. You get into this rhythm of playing these games every week, and you've got this bye coming up already where you're not going to have to prepare for anything. Is there anything, any drawback, anything to be worried about in terms of getting an extra bit off? And in the Chiefs right now, in this instance, they get like an extra half week because this last game happened on Wednesday. I don't think it stands up to a slightly closer examination, though, if you're genuinely worried about, air quotes here, rust. Not at this point, in fact. I'll tell you this on the front end. I'd be happy to see DJ Humphries play just about every snap, if not literally every snap, on Sunday against the Broncos. Sunday afternoon, by the way. The NFL made us wait until like 11 o'clock last night, but they did actually announce that. I'm cool if DJ Humphries wants to get every snap he can, and then we can talk about what the Chiefs are going to do at left tackle. I think either way, though, it makes sense to have Humphries play on Sunday. If you want to stick with Joe Tooney, you want Humphries to be at least ready to go in emergency backup moments if necessary. So get him his reps. And if you want DJ Humphries to start in the playoffs, which tip my hand a little bit here. I still kind of think the Chiefs do. We'll talk about that more as the show goes on today. But either way, Humphrey's probably out of play. He does have Russ. In fact, Steven Nelson can play as well, because those guys have not played meaningful football throughout the last year and then some. DJ Humphreys tore his ACL last New Year's Eve. He got a little bit of action before the hammy gave him some issues. Steven Nelson retired in the summer. Those guys might have rust. It's been a very long time since they've played meaningful football, or at least a full game of it. Let them play. Totally cool with that. I really am going to need somebody to explain to me why Travis Kelce needs to play any snaps on Sunday. Why should Patrick Mahomes be out there at all? Because, so like a text in here from an 816, one, maybe 2 weeks off is different than 24 days off. If the starters don't play against Denver, that'll make 24 days off before they play a game again. That's, I get it. I hear you. That is a long layover. Why is that a bad thing? What is the actual specific concern? Because you could say, you know, well, it's a long time to be kind of out of the speed of the game. The Chiefs always look really good in week one. Andy Reid has an entire offseason to prepare. And they go through training camp to prepare for week one. They have the preseason, and a couple of snaps here and there. But they're not running real plays. They're not getting the real offense in rhythm in the preseason. They're not doing anything unique, certainly. They're just kind of setting the foundation, getting their offense locked in a little bit early on. They look good in week one, and you're going to say, well, let's make it the I guess it wouldn't be the Bills because they're the 2 seed. The Steelers end up in Arrowhead for a little second round rematch. I understand that maybe it's not normal for the Chiefs to be playing their first action after pretty close to a month off before then, but the quote unquote rusty Chiefs are in a much better mental and physical space than a Steelers team who has been stretching to the finish line, stumbling many times along the way, and then they have to survive through a first round playoff game, whoever they're going up against, and then be right back ready to go in Arrowhead against the Chiefs team that hasn't gotten hit in 3 weeks. That's a good thing for Kansas City. There's also not really empirical evidence for rust being a problem. Again, I think it's just one of those things that becomes kind of conventional wisdom that I'm not sure is all that wise. Because I have already, and I will continually make the case for 3 weeks off is not tangibly hurting Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, this offensive line. Trent McDuffie played almost every snap of the regular season to this point. He doesn't need to be playing over the next month. Or obviously, until the playoff game. I'm saying that even without the next point I'm going to build up here, I would take putting Kareem Hunt in a cryogenic chamber for the next 20 days. I think his body needs it probably as much as anybody's. But if you just said, hey, like, just go home and keep your cardio up and we'll see you in 2 weeks, which is not what the Chiefs are doing. If you say, just go home, rest up, we'll see you in 2 weeks, I'd be okay with that. But you should be even less worried about the rust of it all, considering the team that we're talking about. If there is any team in football who has experience not only like flipping the switch, because I think that can be a little bit oversimplified. We're going to talk about that at some point today, too. But if there's any team in football who, one, has played plenty of games over the last 365 days or the last 700 and whatever days, 730? This Chiefs team has played more football than anybody else, most of the members of this team have played all of that football. And Andy Reid is far from his first rodeo here. If you've got a concern about like a mental focus, I think you worry about things more than you need to. Because the hardest time for this team to stay mentally focused, I assume, was week 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. They had a pretty good stretch after the bye, leading up to the Bills game. They lose to Buffalo, and then after that, welcome to the dog days. Panthers by a field goal, Raiders by a couple points, Chargers by a couple points. Then you get your turnovers back, and you finish out the rest of the season. But 13-14, 12-13-14, those are the weeks of the year that must have felt like straining to the finish. Those are the weeks of the year you say, hey, we got to be not just focused, but prepared for the Carolina Panthers to be rejuvenated, bring a new look version of Bryce Young, and play their best football to try to knock us off to make themselves a little statement. That's the time when you are doing it through injury, when Patrick Mahomes is turning around on a short week to play on a bum ankle against the Texans before playing on an even shorter week on Christmas 3 days after that. Those are the times when I wondered if the Chiefs were going to run out of gas. Let them refuel over these couple of weeks. I don't think it makes any difference at all. I don't think there is any upside to Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Hunt, and frankly, on some level, probably Xavier Worthy. I know he's a rookie. It's a different conversation. There's no reason for any of those guys to play. Charles Aminihu, you've been doing great work since you got back from your ACL. You take week 18 off. Mike Dana, you've been playing through some injuries. You go ahead and sit down. Chris Jones, you are going to get a month before we need you out there. Chris Jones is not going to forget how to play football. Chris Jones is not in danger of getting out there again in a month and suddenly being like slow and fat after getting through this brutal season that then has his calf barking at him. On Christmas, they sit him down. It sounded like he probably could have played if they needed him in that game. He's going to get a month after carrying a tremendous workload throughout the regular season. I don't think you have anything to worry about with the Chiefs taking their time off and having a negative repercussion. Because again, and text through if you've got something specific that you are worried about, 913-586-7965. Because if you're worried about physical rust, I just think you're underestimating the fact that they will be practicing, they will be preparing for these playoff games, and the physical wear and tear of this season and of another game, that is far more dangerous than an extra week of rust. And if you're worried about mental rust, I think you are misunderstanding the team that you're watching. I think this team's hardest mental battles have come during the dog days, because this team knew from the moment they hoisted the Lombardi Trophy in February, they knew that the next season was going to have one goal. And every team wants to win the championship. That's true. But as our guest coming up here in about 15 minutes, Nate Taylor, recently poetically described, the Chiefs have been playing under the burden of history, of being the league's featured team, of doing something that's never been done before, that if they don't do it now, they're not going to do it. Like, I don't think this is terribly, terribly cynical of me. I don't think the Chiefs will win. I don't think the Chiefs will pull off a three-peat unless they do it this season. Because you've already got your first two. This is the time. There's a reason this has never been done before. This is your chance to make history. That is a heavy thing to carry, and they've been carrying it for months now. For a year now, really. Now, they have three games to do it. three games that don't start until mid-January. I think they ought to take all the time they can and that they need and that they want to be ready for those three games, because this season's been a marathon and they're finishing it at 15-1 with one inconsequential game still to go. You've got three games to sprint. Rest up. Because everything gets faster. The intensity will ramp up. This is the time to do it. I'm really excited. I'm Joshua Briscoe, by the way. I see a text in the text line that says, no Cody and Gold today. Well, it's, I mean, no Cody
the
or
show
Gold.
Is Cody. It is Cody and Gold.
But it is Cody and Gold. And that's still Drew. So you've got 33% of Cody and Gold.
I am here.
And then I'm here carrying 66% of the weight. I mean, that in and of itself is remarkable. Drew is here.
I am here.
Sorry, Drew. I talked for so long that people started texting, where is Drew at?
No, you're good.
I'm rested. I'm not rusted. We're here.
Okay, so you're saying that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and everybody, if they bring the energy, they're going to be excited to get back, as excited to get back and play as you are to host the show and carry the 66% of the load.
That's how I feel. And we got a text in a second ago. I don't know if I can read that text from two texts ago. That one's very funny, though. Thank you, 816.
I don't think you can either.
You're going to run through a brick wall, and also is one. I can say that. Somebody said that if there is rust, that should shake off after a series. And I agree with that, too. If they come out the first game in the divisional round of the playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes, first of all, something that he does quite a bit in big games, if Patrick Mahomes sails a ball on the first drive of the game, or he puts one at Hollywood Brown's feet, it's because it's playoff time, man. Week 18 against the Broncos wasn't going to do that for you anyway. Like, you are amping up and ramping up for the only games that truly matter, because that's the standard that the Chiefs have been playing at this entire season. It's why nothing they've done through this regular season has turned anyone who wasn't already into a believer. Because it's also why we talked about this a tiny bit on the morning show, and I heard Dusty and Mac talking about it earlier before I got in too. But it's why Andy Reid's not like the runaway favorite for coach of the year. They're the most accomplished team. They've overcome a ton. But Kevin O'Connell, rightfully so, and the Minnesota Vikings, they've overachieved. They've surprised, because the Vikings are allowed to prove something in the regular season. The Chiefs haven't been allowed to prove something in the regular season since Patrick Mahomes' first year as the starter. Am I crazy, Drew? Is there a counterpoint? Let me ask you this. Because you work with Cody and Gold every day. So I have to imagine you're pretty good at you're experiencing the contrarian viewpoints in life. This is a show with three thinkers. But today, it's me and Drew. Where does rust come from? What is there to be worried about? Because you never talk about being rusty after your midseason bye. You don't talk about being rusty going into the Super Bowl even, really. That's a little bit different because it's just 2 weeks of media nonsense and you know your opponent the whole time. But
yeah,
what should I be afraid of?
So to your point, I think the one thing that you're spot on about is that when you were saying, if you think that this team is going to be mentally rusty, because I think that's where it comes from more, like the physical rust is there, but I think it, you know, you're able to bounce back quickly. I haven't done a show in over a week. I feel a little bit rusty just looking at the board again. Like,
sure.
Okay, I need a refresh. Boom. First segment's in. We're off and we're running again. I think that's the same way that the Chiefs are going to be, where to that Texas point, one series, they'll be back and they'll be ready to go. From the mental standpoint of trying to keep focus, preparing light, like you're going to be off, but this is a playoff game. Like having that focus, I think you're right. I don't know if there is a counterpoint because it's the Kansas City Chiefs and because right. It's Andy Reid. If this was any other team, if this was the Baltimore Ravens, if this was maybe the Buffalo Bills too, but if you were to look at the Ravens in particular and say, hey, the Ravens have 2 weeks off, they got to be ready to go and sound. I don't know if I trust them as much as I know that Andy Reid is going to have his guys ready to go. Patrick Mahomes is going to make sure that he's ready to go. They just have that culture of, hey, we've been there and done that. We know what it takes to do this. We're going to be fine, and we're going to be ready to go when the kickoff comes, whatever day in January that is, here in a few weeks, a couple of weeks.
I think that's right. It's about, I mean, you really have been there before. That's another cliche that I think a lot of times doesn't quite tell the whole story. But in this case, It does. You're right. So you're, you know, your first time back on the board in like a week, you're feeling a little rusty. I got to get through 4 hours over here, and I'm like, I almost just had a little cough right into the microphone first segment. Hey, that's that's concerning. I understand. But if we had just spent 2 weeks not doing live radio, but podcasting in the same rooms, you know, if hitting the same buttons and going through the notes again, if this was a playoff game, if I was here right now and say, hey guys, if you can just make sure that you have no technical errors and that you have nothing but fresh, brand new topics. And if the conversation flows perfectly the entire time, everybody gets $1 million. I go, okay, you know what? My preparation might be a little bit different than it was. I'll tell you this, preparing for this 4 hours with you today was different than the preparation that I do for the 2 hour Josh Briscoe show on Monday night.
Yeah.
We have less time and a different schedule on Monday nights as opposed to what we're going to do for 4 hours here. So I had to prepare differently to make sure we got enough stuff for 4 hours. We got three guests coming up today because I think it's going to raise the overall quality of the show. Wouldn't do that for 2 hours. Wouldn't do that for week 18 against the Broncos with Carson Wentz. We're in the big show now, though. Like, I really do think that this is something that the Chiefs have this standard that it's not even just championship standard, because everybody thinks they have a championship standard. Everybody has a level of quality they're trying to hit. Every NFL team is a professional operation. The Chiefs have done all of this before. Let Carson Wentz go show off. Like, get him a contract in the offseason. Get somebody to give him not the Baker Mayfield deal, but give him the Sam Darnold deal of, hey, like, you know, we'll have you come in with our rookie quarterback, and if something happens to our rookie quarterback, then Carson Wentz is cooking for one of the sad New York teams, or hopefully for his sake, somewhere more fun and more interesting than that. But I am... The only thing that kind of annoys me about it a little bit, we got a great text here. I asked where rust comes from. 620 says, rust comes from iron and moisture reacting with oxygen. Thank you, texter. Much better. That's clearly what I was looking for this entire time. 913 says, I'm a little more concerned about the Chiefs getting restless and coming out over-amped more than being rusty. I think he will. Mahomes usually does come out and over-amps a throw in the first drive and then settles in, and you just have to hope he doesn't stay unsettled for too long. But I don't think there's anything that playing a single snap in Week 18 would do one way or the other there. Think about specifically Travis Kelce. He could have played Week 18 last year and gotten his 1,000-yard season, and obviously the Chiefs did not have the first round bye last year because they had to play the Dolphins in the wild card rounds at home and then travel after that. That week off, genuinely, Travis Kelce looked like a different football player in the playoffs there. I think partially in play style and partially in usage. But for the most part, man, he was never healthy last year. He hyperextended his knee in the last practice before the season kicked off and had the bone bruise and everything in there. He wasn't healthy at any point last year. He takes the week off before the playoffs. Rejuvenated version of a then 34-year-old tight end. Now he's 35. You've seen the hits he's taken, and you've seen the way that he's moving most of this year. I want him to just like spend 2 weeks in ice tubs and stretching rooms, like just limber up and be ready for games that matter. And then all the other thing that I don't, it struck me when I saw somebody tweet it after the Steelers game on Christmas. It really is three games: divisional, conference, bye week, Super Bowl. They are three games away from a three-peat right now, and it feels like they should be favored in that conversation. And I was not at that place last time I was talking on these airwaves, because these last two games have felt like a legitimate step up for where this team stands now, that we have the benefit of sitting here and letting me pontificate about. Definitely. How rest is a good thing. It really, they're in an incredible spot right now.
Well, and if you look at it too, not only is it going to be a playoff game you get amped up for, there's the potential it's either your biggest rival potentially in the Bengals, or another divisional game where you're playing the Broncos for the third time this season. So it's not only a playoff game, you also could be playing in a game that already feels like it has a little bit more juice anyways, because it's not just a playoff game. It's another game against the Broncos, or it's another game against the Bengals, or potentially another game against the Dolphins, which obviously we're going to get into a little bit later in terms of who we'd rather have and stuff. But that's there. I get why you would be a little bit nervous about it, but I think that given this team's track record, you should be calm and relaxed and excited for how well things are going to go for you potentially in the divisional round and then moving forward.
Think about how hard so many things felt for this Chiefs team this year and how much you felt so many occasions. Like, man, they could really just use a breather. Now they got one. Listen, I was going to say I'm as anxious as the next guy, and that's probably not true. I'm probably more anxious than the next guy, just in general, just as a person. I'm happy to worry about things professionally. We're going to always do that. You want to nitpick at the things that aren't quite right or the things that could derail a postseason run or whatever it may be. But you saw how hard this season looked at times for the Kansas City Chiefs. They got the break that they needed. Enjoy that. Kick your feet up. Be excited for Carson Wentz. Watch DJ Humphries. Hopefully watch Steven Nelson. You can evaluate them. Nothing else on Sunday can ruin your day. And then the week after, nothing all weekend can ruin your weekend. Because when it's all said and done, the Chiefs get 2 weeks off. Everybody gets to rest. Everybody gets to stay healthy who's staying on the sideline. And then in mid-January, we'll watch the Chiefs take the field after a nearly month-long break as they get ready for a three-game stretch to go complete the three-peat. It's a pretty good time to be a Chiefs fan. I don't think you ought to be stressing out about the new year, your team being over-rested when the rest of the league is absolutely beaten down. It is Cody and Gold. I am not Cody or Gold. I'm Joshua Briscoe. We'll take a timeout and talk to Nate Taylor of The Athletic. See what he's thinking about rest, rust, left tackle, Carson Wentz, the burden. We'll talk to Nate Taylor next here on 96.5 The Fan. Good point from the text line. We're not used to a good, well-prepped show. We're used to the one that's usually on here.
I think that's a shot at me as well.
Thank you, Texter.
You're good, Josh.
I'm neither Cody nor Gold. That's still true. I'm Josh Briscoe, and we're joined now by the one, the only, Nate Taylor of The Athletic. You can also hear him on Only Weird Games with me and somebody less important to it all. Nate, we've talked about the burden over the last couple of weeks. I referenced it in the open today. I want to talk about the burden of some time off. But what was the burden of Christmas on the road like for you? That's I just would love for you and every Chiefs media member to have a Christmas maybe without the Chiefs playing on it next year. But I don't know if Santa's taking my wishes or not.
Yes. Thank you, Josh, for considering my family and my own sanity more than Roger Goodell. I'm truly inspired and grateful. Let me tell the audience, you know, obviously, I live in my beloved hometown. I have this civic duty, which I take, you know, great pleasure in trying to provide, information in a way that's, you know, serviceable to the community. There are no, and by the way, this tells you like the league really doesn't care. There are no direct flights, ladies and gentlemen, that I could see once the schedule came out between Kansas City and Pittsburgh. If you found it, congratulations. I haven't found it. I think the times that the Chiefs have played in Pittsburgh, I've never been on a direct flight. I either have to go to Detroit or Minneapolis or Chicago. So God bless my wife, Holly, as you know, Josh. We brought Hayden with us to Pittsburgh to do, you know, a as good as we could make it Christmas. Santa Claus, you know, we sent the letter. Hey, man, things have changed this year. You know, Patrick Mahomes. you know, we'll be at this hotel on Christmas Eve. Please come, you know, you figure it out. So, yeah, man, I mean, we didn't get in until, like, 11:30. I don't think this boy went to bed until, like, 12:30. And then, you know, he woke up at 7, and it was Christmas. And where am I? What time is it? What world am I in? Oh, that's right. They play a game today? Like, it was so, like, abnormal, but in obviously a good way. Like, you know, my son is happy. Santa Claus, once again, did a great job. We all know who that is, at least in my household. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, like, okay, if they're going to make us play this game on a Wednesday or make them play the game on the Wednesday, you know, okay, if I'm going to have to cover it and you know, Chris Jones isn't going to play, like, okay, I guess it makes sense to me. Throughout all of that, Josh, it was the moment they had really been, like, walking towards – all season, which is like an actual like dominant performance in front of the entire country if you had Netflix, and just reminding them of how dominant they can be when the games actually start to matter. And, you know, we talked about this too, like, hey, man, guys, if we win today, we get the one seed. That's the message. They like. It's not like Andy Reid had to like really like talk the guys up into like some like, you know, rousing speech or whatever. And the guys took that message and they ran with it. And so it's a lot more memorable than the Christmas last year, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I've been told that Christmas is on a Thursday this year. So I guess I'll have Christmas with Al Michaels and Herb Street. Yeah. I guess.
I'll ask the question that my in-laws asked me on Christmas, and my answer to them was, ugh, I don't know. Do you think we're on the precipice of the Chiefs playing on Christmas, a la the Lions and Cowboys on Thanksgiving, or will Roger Goodell have mercy on our souls at some point?
Please, Roger, please stop it, okay? I don't think the Chiefs will get to a point where they are like officially like we play the Christmas game. It's still, I mean, the mental gymnastics and the scheduling mechanisms they had to put in place just to make this work. Hey, you're going to play Sunday to Saturday to Wednesday. I mean, it's like, you can't do that. Like you can't, what are we going to do if it's on a Tuesday? Rods play on a Friday.
Yes. You know, yes, exactly.
It's insane. It really is insane. I don't know if the Chiefs will make it to Christmas. Now, I think I don't know if I told you this, but I've heard a theory. Do you want to hear my theory?
I want to hear the theory so bad.
This obviously involves the Chiefs to some degree because they can inherently just be that team every year. But, you know, one of the best things about Thanksgiving is, hey, this was a tradition from the Lions. You know, the Lions played on Thanksgiving. It was really cool. Everybody had a great time. Cowboys said, we can't let them have it. Give it to us, too. So it's like, okay, fine, America's team. I guess we can do this a doubleheader. Cool, whatever. So now, and again, this is in November, not late December, there has been some speculation that given their popularity, and then let me say that again. Due to their popularity, not their success,
mm-hmm.
due to their popularity and their location and their historical, place in NFL history, there has been some thought that Black Friday will be the Las Vegas Raiders' day moving forward. And that the Black Friday, through Amazon or Netflix or whoever the hell else wants this thing, Black Friday will be Black Friday, i.e. the Raiders will play on this day because it gives you an AFC sort of, you know, because obviously for comparison's sake, like, you know, Thanksgiving is largely an NFL day, mm-hmm. which largely means it's an NFC day before the mergers, of course. So, or before the big mergers. Mm-hmm. So now that we, you know, are living in this world and because Amazon exists and because they know they can't get a Thursday game on Thanksgiving because that goes to NBC for the night game. And then obviously CBS and Fox sort of alternate every year between whether they're in Dallas or Detroit. Okay, how do we get Amazon? It's Thursday game, technically not on a Thursday. Oh, it's Black Friday. And guess what? People want to watch the Raiders. The Raiders are fun. They're entertaining. They have a huge following, even though they're not having good since I was in like high school. Yeah. So like, yeah, but I think that's what I've heard. I don't know if that'll happen. That'll be something that the owners will talk about. I believe this off season. And considering that if you could just always pair the Raiders and the Chiefs on Black Friday, whether it's in Vegas or Kansas City, there is some validity to that thought process that I've heard.
I'm cool with that. Also, I think you've already got the funky schedule with those yes. three Thanksgiving games, and it's one day better than a Sunday to Thursday turnaround. You get a little bit of a slightly longer week going. I'm good with that. And really, several times this year, I've enjoyed. This is a topic for later also, but we can touch on it now. I've enjoyed the Chiefs being in some standalone slots because it lets me watch Red Zone, which is my favorite thing.
Yes.
And then yesterday I got to watch Red Zone and it was six, I think, terrible football games in the noon window. And then two, one of them terrible, both of them not great, in the afternoon window. Nate, Scott Hansen said, all right, we're going to go ahead and give you three questions from Baker Mayfield's press conference. And I could have wept. God. I fell to my knees in front of my television. I can't snort press conferences, Nate.
No one's here for that. And again, Baker Mayfield better say the most outrageous thing I've ever heard, which I'm sure he didn't.
No.
So why are we doing this? You know, the whole thing too about like it's supposed to be commercial free football, but like, hey man, there's a commercial on my screen.
Yeah,
God, this is like what are you like, why are we cheapening the product? Okay, as everybody knows, or as most people know, I have described Red Zone in a substance manner that is an illegal drug.
Yeah,
and we are cheapening it. Okay,
yes.
They are stepping on it too much. I need it to be pure. I need it to be what it was brought to me, you know, back in the day, right? Like a decade ago when they first really let this thing pop off. This is how you know the league is getting away with all this nonsense. Josh, I woke up yesterday, right, off of, hey, man, that was the first really good night of sleep I got. Wow, okay, it's a Sunday. Yeah, like football. Yeah, yeah. Why the hell is Joe Flacco the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? I totally didn't realize it. Like, I covered this league, and I was like, wait, what? Joe Flacco? With the season on the line? What? Like, huh? I'm watching Joe Flacco and Drew Lock.
Yeah. Yeah, and both quarterbacks are doing the thing that their team did not want them to do.
Right. That's the best part. It's like, no, Drew, go down. Well, of course he ran into the end zone.
Never. Never.
It's incredible. So, yes, I mean, it's great that the Chiefs have been the thing that has propped the NFL even further into, like, ratings. And there's something to be written about. I haven't done it yet, but there's, like, research. I mean, wow. Maybe tonight's the night I convince Holly, Josh, that I got to watch this documentary on Amazon. I got to. I got to. I mean, we got. By the way, no one affiliated with the team that I was told is in this documentary, but it's about the Chiefs. I mean, you just slap Chiefs and robberies on it, and people will watch. But there's something to be written about the fact that the Chiefs, more than the Cowboys in some sense, more than the Eagles, more than, you know, even what the Patriots probably were doing, you know, a decade ago, they are carrying the NFL in every major statistical marker for television in terms of ratings, in terms of viewership, in terms of, I mean, I knew Netflix was going to be like, look at all these people, you know, and it's like, okay, so you're telling me Netflix peaked at halftime with Beyonce and when Patrick Mahomes had the ball.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Really cool. Like, you know, so to your point, it's like, hey, if you want a guaranteed, you know, ratings hit, put them on Black Friday, put them on Christmas. Hell, put them on at, and I've always said this before, put them on at 2 a.m. on Saturn and you're going to get a number. So, you know, now that we're entering the phase of the postseason, there's probably something to be said about the idea that, like, you know, I don't want to say like the Chiefs are America's team, but they have similar traits, like the Chicago Bulls of the 90s, obviously the Lakers of the Kobe Bryant, you know, Shaquille O'Neal era in the early 2000s are like, if you just put them on television, people will tune in. You know, there's a reason why, and I'm begging Adam Silver, I don't know what you got to do, man. I don't know how many drugs you got to give them. I don't care about, like, competitive balance. It don't matter. Please keep giving me Steph Curry and LeBron James. That's all I want. That's all I want, man. I know I'm old. I know they're even older. Just give it to me more often, because that's the only thing the NBA has to sort of compete with the NFL, and even that's not even a fair competition. So with the Chiefs having all these standalone games, it's nice to see. Man, if we thought the Chiefs were sort of mediocre way through this season, it's not like there's a lot of teams better.
How remarkable is that to you? Because you know, we get very, very understandably caught up in the day-to-day of all of this because that's the job. But like being a Kansas City native and having obviously covered this team, but also having covered other things around the country, other sports, getting sort of the national media angle on everything, and then getting far enough removed to look back and realize it's not just back-to-back championships and a shot at history here, because theoretically any team can do that, right? Like the Super Bowl losing years of the Buffalo Bills, that, right. That was Buffalo. But the Chiefs are in full... They are in America's team territory in the same way that you win enough that you become hated by the teams that the fan bases that don't love you. You have the two most recognizable players in the sport right now. You have the most recognizable head coach on your sideline, and you do keep winning. I always enjoy taking the 2 minutes to kind of like re-examine that, because every time it kind of boggles my mind.
It really does. And you know, for as much as I have enjoyed the Eagles this season, right? And give credit to Kenny Pickett for, you know, doing what he was supposed to do as a professional. I mean, Saquon Barkley's their team, you know? Yeah. And that's amazing that, like, 2,000 yards. Okay, like, they're a legitimate team. You know, I can't wait to watch next week between the Lions and the Vikings, right? The Vikings legitimately could be the one seed. The Vikings could go to the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold. Like, you know, so I do think the league is a lot more wide open once you exclude the Chiefs. Once you include them, it is very much to your point, Josh, of just like, wow, like Lamar Jackson, underratedly having the best season of his career, he still doesn't have the supporting cast around him, which is wild. It's like, hey, they moved Kyle Hamilton to deep safety, and they weren't absolute hot garbage on defense anymore. It's like, wow, you know, but he doesn't have the necessary pieces around him, I think, to compete at the highest level on the Chiefs' best day, right? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is an absolute tour de force. Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, Dawson Knox. I mean, his offensive line is very good, and that's where he's able to sort of operate outside the norms of most quarterbacks. There's not, I mean, I loved the Houston Texans coming into this season. They are a shell of themselves. You know, we just watched the Chiefs dismantle the Steelers. There's not a lot of top level competition. And so even if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, right, even if they have a chance to complete the three-peat, I still think we'll probably look back on it 10, 15 years later and say, man, it was actually the 2023 season that you should have got the Chiefs.
Yep.
That was the hardest stretch. If what we saw on Christmas Day is pretty much the normalized standard proceeding operation for the Chiefs in the postseason, right? If Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy are pretty much always open due to their speed, and you have Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins working underneath, the Chiefs will probably score 30 at some point in a postseason game. And so if they get to the Super Bowl, all they have to do is beat one team. When you realize that, like, maybe that team wasn't as good, you know, hey, it's nice to have Justin Jefferson. He's awesome. But, like, maybe that Vikings team, if they get to the Super Bowl, is not as good as last year's 49ers team, which was a collection of all pros. And even the year before, where, like, the Eagles were one of the most dominant run teams we had seen in the modern NFL era, to always control the tempo and the style of the game. And Mahomes just went, I don't know, he went to like another level in the second half and had one incompletion. So like, it's like, how do you beat a team that can just always get a first down every four tries? It's like, well, what if we just score a touchdown every drive after halftime? And it's like, well, I guess you can win that way. He's like, well, yeah, we'll do that. Like, yeah, if that's what's required of me, I'll score a touchdown every drive in the second half of the freaking Super Bowl. And you're like, oh, I mean, as I say that out loud, it sounds normal. It's not normal, ladies and gentlemen. like last year, they had Deebo Samuels, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Trent Williams, and Christian McCaffrey. Well, I guess we can't let them touch the ball in overtime. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm never going to let them touch the ball in overtime. So, I mean, we should not be surprised if the Chiefs do three-peat, but yet, when you really sit down and think about it, you're like, wow, the league should be tougher than this. It's designed to be tougher than this. But because you have one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the NFL right now, you obviously have the most talented quarterback, you have home field advantage, they will be rested. Their bodies will feel a lot better, we think, than the other teams. Yep. Man, it's wild to consider that by extending the season another week, you know, going from 16 weeks to 17 weeks to only having one bye, it's given the Chiefs quite a bit of an unfair advantage, but they've earned it because they won all those one-score games.
It's why those games were so stressful, and it's why a fingertip on a kick against the Denver Broncos is the thing that now gives you a chance to rest everybody this last week. We're talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic. What are you expecting here in Week 18? Let me ask you so you can give me the shorter list. Who amongst the team's top, like, 30 players do you think will play in this game or play significant snaps? I imagine Creed's going to go out there, snap the opening one, and maybe play a drive because he's got a streak going. But who of the top, again, really, top 30 guys do you think is going to get significant work?
Man, it's a great question. I wonder if, like, Leo Chenault will play.
Yes.
Just because he can do special teams, he can be on defense, right? Drew Tranquil's older, Nick Bolton's older, you let those guys rest. You can try to say, hey, can you just give us, like, 15 professional snaps, Leo? You might see that, right? Trying to think what else. You know, I don't know if DJ Humphries is top 30, but he will be the one that I think most people should watch alongside Carson Wentz on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. Because really the Denver Broncos' entire playoff hopes come down to Carson Wentz and DJ Humphries. That's
so
the entire
sick.
It's just insane. It's like, well, you know, either this guy who is coming off an ACL and had a hamstring injury, you know, if he plays the entire game, you might not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think Noah Gray will probably play a decent amount of snaps. He's kind of in the top 30, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. Humphries and Steven Nelson are the only two guys who I want to see play, who I also want to see potentially in the playoffs. Both of those guys are kind of, you know, in some ways contingent on who's around them. But, like, I want to see both of them. And then so on the Humphries thing, what do you think the plan is? Andy Reid's not going to tell us when he talks in an hour. Maybe he'll give us a little bit on Isaiah Pacheco. I'm not holding my breath for much more than that. But what do you think the Chiefs' plan is at left tackle, given the fact that Humphries does have one game he could go out there and get some reps under his belt, but also that Joe Tooney has stabilized that position a little bit over these last few weeks?
Yeah. No, I want people to understand that Andy Reid will tell his – I mean, he's already told him this morning, right? Andy Reid has told his players this morning, hey, we are professionals. We are going to Denver to win. We're going to Denver to have 16 wins on our record after already, you know, setting the franchise record 15. Yes, I'm a sit, guys, for obvious reasons. It's been a long year. But, like, hey, DJ Humphries, we're going to win, okay? Carson Wentz has a lot riding on Sunday because Gardner Minshew was a freaking starting quarterback in this league this year, okay? Never forget that, right? Gardner Minshew went to Baltimore in week two and led the Raiders to an upset victory? That happened, right? So if you're Carson Wentz, why can't I be that in 2025? So, hey, Nico Remigio, you better run them routes, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, DJ Humphries, like, I need to see you against Nick – how do you say his name? Nick Bonito?
Bonito, yeah.
Bonito, yes, I need to see you against Nick Bonito because, again, that is a legitimate professional pass rusher. And, by the way, this is a perfect scenario for the Chiefs in a sense because it's not like that team is playing its backups. It's not like last year where Chris Jones was chasing what was his name? Easton Stick,
yes.
For his 10th incentivized sack to get $1.5 million. You're not going to watch that. Like, you know, Bo Nix is going to play. Obviously, you know, everybody's going to be involved. So this will be a good test. If DJ Humphries can get to the game and he can keep Carson Wentz upright and, you know, he has no ill effects coming after the game, then now Andy Reid has something to consider. If DJ Humphries struggles or has another, you know, lingering injury, or let's say the hamstring unfortunately sort of pops up again, then you have to stay with Joe Tooney. You know, I think Mike Caliendo, this is obviously a weird twist now that I'm thinking it through, but Mike Caliendo is going to have to play on Sunday because with Joe Tooney not playing, with I think Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, you know, get them all off the field, Juwan Taylor, like, hey, you need somebody who's a veteran to, like, run the offensive line. So, like, you need Mike Caliendo to get through the game too alongside DJ Humphries. So that he's still an option if you have to move Joe Tooney back to left tackle or keep him there, I should say, for the divisional round. You know, if it's a perfect ideal world, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Reid wants your offensive line on the divisional round, which will probably be Saturday, January 18th. He wants that to be DJ Humphries at left tackle, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Jawan Taylor. That's what he wants. But the circumstances may say, based on what we've seen so far and the comfort of your quarterback, you might actually have to stay with the offensive line that we've seen over the last 3 weeks.
Real quick, anything on Isaiah Pacheco? Any guesses? Do we think Andy Reid will tell us anything resembling the truth today?
No, he won't tell us anything between the truth. Now, you know, one of the strangest things is that you have to – this is the Chiefs' issue, not mine, ladies and gentlemen. You have to sort of speculate because the Chiefs will tell you, hey, if a guy is hurt, if he didn't finish the game, you cannot talk to him. He's off limits. Now, usually that player will be, like, in the back room getting, you know, more evaluations from the training staff, or he'll just be, you know, he'll be getting dressed somewhere where you cannot contact and communicate with that man. I saw Isaiah Pacheco in the locker room. I know he wasn't feeling great, but he looked fine. It was very similar to me what happened with Joshua Williams, I think, in the Raiders game where he had like a chest injury. Mm-hmm. But I did see him in the locker room after the game, and guess what? Josh Williams was like practicing the next week. So I don't think, you know, we haven't heard anything. At least I haven't heard anything that has been put out since that Isaiah Pacheco has a major injury, but it was to his ribs. You always want to be a little cautious on those tender parts of the body. But I get the impression that he will probably be a participant this week. Don't know if he'll necessarily have to play, considering you have to rest him and Kareem Hunt to get those legs as fresh as possible for the postseason run.
I am ready for 20 Carson Steele carries, and it does not matter what he does with them. It's Carson Steele season. It's Nate Taylor season. It's time for a little extra bye before the playoffs begin. Nate, I appreciate you as always. I'll talk tomorrow, and I hope you've enjoyed this brief respite from Cody and Gold here on Cody and Gold.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure.
That's Nate Taylor of The Athletic, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We'll take a timeout here. It is Cody and Gold. I am Josh Abriscoe, filling in for the dynamic duo. We'll talk more Chiefs football with Jordan Foote of ChiefsOnSI.com coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.